All right, now joining us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is former Georgia Tech, New York Jets, Denver Broncos, and Houston Texans defensive back Nick Ferguson. Hey, Nick, thanks for a couple minutes of your time tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me, Chris.
So, Nick, obviously watched your Twitter feed last night during the Jets-Broncos game. Again, a couple of your former teams, but particularly wanted to get your thoughts first on the Jets so far this season. I'm not sure, Nick, when I look down the rest of that schedule that I see a W out there. What are your thoughts?
Well, I share your same thoughts when I look down the schedule as well. It's a tough outing for the Jets, just like the Denver Broncos. They've had a number of key players go down with injuries. The great thing for Adam Gase and Sam Darnold, some of those guys would definitely be on their way back. I think Le'Veon Bell may be back in another 2 or 3 weeks. And this team, especially after watching him last night, they could definitely use a boost of confidence from his production, you know, on the field. And when you look at this overall roster, you have to say, well, Adam Gase did not do himself quite a service as far as going out and getting the quality type of depth that's required to be competitive in this league. And I know there are a lot of, you know, Jets fans that I know and former players who took to Twitter to just kind of let their frustration definitely be known. And the one guy I do feel sorry for, Chris, it is Sam Darnold. I mean, the guy showed last night he's not a bust. He still has a lot of talent left in him, but he just doesn't have the necessary pieces around him to be successful.
Yeah, and I agree with that, Nick. I mean, I think that's one of the things, right? Because we're already starting to hear whispers about Trevor Lawrence, and is that the way to go? And I'm just not sure Sam Darnold's been given an opportunity. I mean, he hasn't been in the league that long, where I can't believe that they would be willing to give up on a first-round pick like him this quickly, particularly, as you mentioned, when you look around the roster, Le'Veon Bell has really not worked out the way they wanted. He's been injury-prone. You know, Jamal Adams leaving, Robbie Anderson leaving. I don't know. What are your thoughts? I mean, if they end up without that W, or at that, you know, whether you get one or two and you get the first round pick, would you look at a guy like Trevor Lawrence?
No, I wouldn't, Chris. I know that's the obvious choice because every single year, everyone is always looking for a quarterback because we've been force-fed the idea that, hey, listen, you need to have a top-tier quarterback to win ball games. We've seen over the past, you don't. Basically, you need to have a competent quarterback to actually go out there and win games. And I'm seeing a lot of that competence in a guy like Sam Darnold, but for me, it boils down to, you know, Joe Douglas. And this is his first year taking over for Mike Maccagnan as GM. And let me give you these numbers. 9 drafted players, 5 have not played a game at all, 4 of those guys have had injuries, 3 of those guys are rookies and they're on IR, and you have 1 guy who's a non-football injury list guy. And with that being said, that is a tough outing for a first-year GM. Now, this tells me also, looking at some of the picks that he did pick up, Denzel Mims, who we had on our show here, 104.3 The Fan, before the draft, and Mekhi Becton. Mekhi Becton did a great job last night. He did a great job over, you know, the past 2 weeks, even with that shoulder being an issue. He came in and he was able to shut down Bradley Chubb. And it wasn't until Mekhi went out of the game that Bradley Chubb was able to get that as many sacks as he did last night. But it's about putting this organization on the right track. And going out to get Trevor Lawrence, all it is going to do is kind of stifle the growth of Sam Darnold. What you need to do, and it appears as though that the Jets are going to have maybe the top will be one of the top 4 picks, or may have the top pick in the draft. What you do if you're sitting at that number 1 spot, you look at your roster and say, what players are coming out that we can actually use to solidify our roster? If there's not a guy that you're willing to take with the first round, what you need to do is broker that number 1 pick for other picks in the draft. You can move back. You can move back in the first round. Still get 2 first-round picks, and maybe pick up 2 picks in the second and third round. That's what you need to do. But going out there trying to go get Trevor Lawrence, it doesn't make any sense, Chris, because if you go get Trevor and you put him in the system and Adam Gase is still the coordinator and the head coach and you have not built up that offensive line behind him, what we're going to see is the same thing we've seen for years in Cleveland, just a rotation and a carousel of quarterbacks.
To your point, Nick, one of the things you talked about last night on social media was who's going to pay the price. And Adam Gase seems to be at the forefront of that. But again, you know, we're four games into his second season as head coach for the Jets. We know about his time as head coach for the Dolphins, had a few years there. And but he was a hot coordinator prior to that with the Bears and the Broncos. Is this a guy that is ultimately going to end up paying a price very early on as head coach with the Jets? Or do you roll with Gase at least through this year and part of next before you look at making any coaching changes?
No, I'm surprised that they have not made an announcement as of yet and allowed Greg Williams to be an interim coach, because he's done it in a couple of his previous stops. But I think at this point, the Jets may be willing, based on the injury factor, to allow Gase a couple of more games before making that decision. Do I see him finishing the season? I do not. Do I see him coming back in 2021 and being the head coach? I do not. If the Jets, for some reason, decide to bring Adam Gase back as their head coach and their coordinator, that tells you exactly what that organization is doing, what the people in the front office think about Sam Darnold and the rest of the Jets fans, because you don't continue to go down that road. And I'm surprised, and I talked to a couple of my former Jets teammates about this. I am surprised that Adam Gase was hired for this job in the first place. He was coaching with the Miami Dolphins before coming to the Jets, and he had a 23-25 record. I mean, he's 30-37, his entire career, and he hasn't really done that well for the Jets. So why bring a coach in that really hasn't had that much success? You may be better served going outside of the kind of, you know, retread of coaches and coordinators and finding someone else that can come in and lead this team. And that's the direction I think the Jets are actually go down.
So let's take that a half step further, Nick. I mean, when you look around the Jets coaching staff right now, a lot of experience on that coaching staff. You mentioned Greg Williams, Frank Bush is on that staff, Joe Vitt's on that staff, Denard Wilson is on that staff, a great friend of our show, Todd Washington on that staff, plus guys like Hines Ward on the staff. Is there anybody on this staff that you think could step up? Or do you have to really, like you sort of alluded to, you got to go out to a hot coordinator somewhere else around the league, or maybe reach down into the college ranks and start all over with this coaching staff?
Listen, that's what I feel you're going to have to do. I mean, you look at Greg Williams, who he's been a head coach in this league before. He's been in a situation where he has been the interim head coach, but then he didn't receive the head coaching job. Frank Bush, a good friend of mine, a linebacker coach here for the Broncos when I played, and also was a defensive coordinator in Houston when I played for the Texans. I'm not sure that is the direction to go in right away. I would try to keep him on the staff if you can, but it's all about going outside, right? And you're looking at the players that you have, but more importantly, you're looking at Sam Darnold. How can you build a team or offense to make this kid look as great as we thought he was when he was coming out of USC? And this is a former first rounder. You don't want to kind of squander his best years with a bad offense and bad play calls. So when I think about the direction that you could go, looking at the skill set that we saw on display, that mobility that Sam Darnold has, that's sort of like a Kyler Murray, sort of like a Russell Wilson, sort of like Lamar Jackson, all these running quarterbacks, maybe not putting him totally on that level of Lamar Jackson, but his athleticism definitely is something that shows that where the league is going. So I'm thinking maybe Eric Bieniemy being one of those guys. Greg Roman, who's now the offensive coordinator and is running the ship for that offense in Baltimore, I mean, you bring him over, just think about the creativity he may bring to the offensive side of the ball for a guy like Sam Darnold. Another guy, which everyone has been trying to pull out of the coaching ranks, but they have been unsuccessful. Lincoln Riley is another guy, right? You have to throw a lot of cash at him. But once again, think about the guys that have played under Lincoln Riley and how many of those guys have won Heisman trophies or they were right there in the run. Another guy I'll toss out there, he doesn't have any, you know, NFL experience coaching, but he's coached a bunch of great NFL prospects, and that's Urban Meyer, right? Why not give some of these guys an opportunity? Because you're looking at where the league is going, And it's not just all about the quarterback, but it's about those athletic quarterbacks. And Sam Darnold's definitely in that mix.
Nick, does this run deeper than just Adam Gase? I mean, you look within the organization, right? I mentioned Jamal Adams, you know, kind of forcing his way out of New York. Le'Veon Bell is a move that has not panned out, I'm sure, the way that they wanted it to. This is an organization that's had one winning season in the last 10. Is it deeper than just Gase? Do they need to look at around the front office to try to figure out that maybe this is now turning into a culture of losing?
Well, yes, it definitely has turned into a culture of losing, but you can always, you know, Chris, turn that around with one coaching decision. Now, I've always been a fan of this phrase, you know, attitude reflects leadership. So if the people at the top, if they settled on mediocrity, then the coaching staff and the players and the training staff is all going to trickle down. I've been a part of this Jets organization when Woody Johnson had first taken over. And it was all about, well, we're going to do whatever we can to make sure that the players have what they need to be successful on the field. And over the years, the idea that standard has somewhat changed slightly, and that's based on the coaches that you bring in. And it's hard every year for a coach when you come in and there's a coach that came in prior to you. He had been there for 3 years. He has all his players in. In order for you to come in and kind of change or give the organization a facelift, you need time to do that, but you need a plan. And it doesn't seem as though Adam Gase definitely had a plan. Now, Joe Douglas, once again in his first year, he seems like he has a plan, but you need to make sure that your GM and your head coach are working together and not against one another. So hopefully the Jets organization realizes that this organization is on a decline, and watching other teams like the New England Patriots continue to do what they do. They lose Tom Brady, they bring in Cam Newton. And then looking at the Buffalo Bills, they say, well, we're going to go out and draft us a mobile quarterback. He wasn't highly touted coming out of Wyoming and Josh Allen, but look what Josh Allen is doing in year three when you put weapons around him. That is the blueprint that the Jets organization needs to go out and try to duplicate. But you can only duplicate that if you have both head coach and GM on the same page.
So to that end, Nick, are we overreacting to this situation? I mean, Adam Gase came in last year. He took over a 4-12 Jets team that went 7-9. And now, you know, like I say, when I look around this roster, I don't see a lot of talent. You mentioned the draft picks that aren't even playing. And then, you know, Le'Veon Bell's injuries and all that sort of stuff. They're 0-4, obviously, but are we pulling the emergency cord too soon on Gase to give him time? If, you know, boy, if a lot of those guys were healthy and playing, this might be something different. Again, took over a 4-12 team and got him to 7-9 and really doesn't have the guys out there playing that he probably needs. Are we overreacting?
No, we're not overreacting. You know, sometimes we have to believe what the optics are actually telling us. And some of these things we can say for those individuals who don't want to look at it that way, they're hiding in plain sight. Like you said, okay, well, you took over 4-12 team and you went 10-6. Well, I mean, that's with Miami, but 7-9, and look at where you are right now. Where's the growth? Where's the improvement? And when you take over a 4-12 team, this is for any coach. Once again, I go back to the fact of you need to be there for a short period of time or even longer to make sure that you weed out the players of the old regime to get your players to understand your game plan and your culture of your locker room. Right now, Adam Gase has had time. And once again, you look at what was the plan to begin with? What kind of offense are we going out to get our quarterback, which they did with Sam Darnold? Are you building around him? Are you building, you know, adding running backs or tight ends to that situation? And Adam Gase, let's be totally honest between you and I, Chris, you know, his claim to fame was being partnered with Peyton Manning. Because he was with Peyton Manning, that allowed him to get the job with the Miami Dolphins, which therefore allowed him to get the job with the New York Jets. And right now, we're not seeing the fruits of those labors come to fruition. And yeah, you coach Tom Brady, I'm not Tom Brady, but Peyton Manning, But what are you doing for Sam Darnold? And how long will it take for you to start showing and proving to, you know, Jet fans that you know what you're doing? And right now, it doesn't seem as though that's happening. So you can try to kind of run Adam Gase out there again, give him another year, but that's going to put you another year or two behind every other team in your division and in the conference. And we're going through the same thing here in Denver. There's been a carousel of offensive coordinators, head coaches, no stability in the organization. So you put your players, especially your quarterback, in difficult situations. It is time to establish a plan, chart a course, and then choosing the right head coach that you feel can actually help the maturation process with Sam Darnold and get this team back into the national conversation again.
Nick, just a couple more before I let you go. And looking at some of the other teams that you played for, we talk about the Broncos and the Texans. Texans feel like a hard luck 0-3. Broncos seem like a team that are scratching and clawing, doing the best they can. Obviously, a lot of injuries on that Broncos team. And you look at just, you know, we talk about in the quarterbacks, right? Drew Lock, Jeff Driscoll, Brett Rippon have now started in of the four games, right? They've had three different starting quarterbacks because of injuries and that sort of thing. Talk about the other two teams you played for and your thoughts about what their prospects are for the rest of the season.
Well, let's start with the Houston Texans. Deshaun Watson just got an extension on his deal before the start of the season. And I think he is an extraordinary quarterback, and that was warranted. You don't want to allow him to get out of the building, but also you don't want him to continue to develop as a quarterback, and you end up paying him more money than you feel as though you have in your wallet, your checkbook, if you will. But when I look at this Houston Texans team, defensively, they've struggled. They haven't really been able to slow anyone down. And when you can't slow the opponent down, it keeps your dynamic quarterback in Deshaun Watson sitting on the sideline, inching and waiting to get in the game. And once he gets in the game, he's too far behind. So Bill O'Brien, you have to abandon the game plan where you can't run the ball anymore. Now you have to, you know, chuck and duck the ball down the field. And opposing defensive coordinators, they realize that. So now they put an edge on their defense and they squeeze into a funnel, and that's been very difficult for Deshaun Watson. And just like Adam Gase, what are you doing if you're Bill O'Brien as the head coach and the GM to build talent around Deshaun Watson? Now, once upon a time, Randall Cobb was a great running back, great wide receiver for Aaron Rodgers. Not so much now. He's slowing down. Brandon Cooks, the same thing when he was with the Rams. And then, again, when he was with the New England Patriots, he's not the same guy because he's always banged up. When you look at Will Fuller, coming out of Notre Dame, was one of those guys that was highly touted because he could take the top off the defense, but he cannot stay healthy. So when you look at the weapons that have been placed around Deshaun Watson, he hasn't really been set up to succeed as though maybe Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes. So that's where things need to change. As far as the Denver Broncos, man, that's a horse of a different color. A lot of injuries that they've sustained. John Elway fans are now pulling out their flame torches and their pitchforks because they're sick and tired of not going to the playoffs. They're sick and tired of having these false promises told to them as far as this is what's happening with the team. It is the coach's fault. That's why we're going to fire a coach and let that coach be the guy that jumps on the grenade when everyone should look at the organization and the individuals who are evaluating talent. Because Chris, when you look at the Denver Broncos from 2016, there's not a lot of players that John Elway has drafted in that time that are still on this roster. And there are a number of players that are no longer in this league. So what does that tell you about their ability to evaluate players? And once again, it starts with the plan. And John Elway is on record for saying the only plan that he had was Plan A, and that had to do with Peyton Manning. And like you said, there is a litany of quarterbacks that the Broncos have gone through to get to this point where you have Drew Lock. And then now what do you do from this standpoint? He came out and had a decent draft this year, so we have to wait maybe 2 or 3 years to see if that worked out. But for the most part, there's a lot of uncertainty surrounding this organization, and a lot of that has to do with the decision-making of John Elway. So this is kind of a put-up, shut-up year for Adam Gase. a put up set up year for Bill O'Brien as a head coach and a GM. And absolutely here in Broncos country, it is a put up set up year for John Elway. And no one wants to hear the excuses about, well, we had all these injuries. Mike Tomlin had a lot of injuries in Pittsburgh last year, but somehow, some way, they were still competitive.
This is Nick Ferguson. It doesn't get much better than this, folks. Nick, let our listeners know how they can stay up to date with all the great things you're doing. Hear you on your show, plus also follow you on social media as well.
Well, you can follow me on social media at @Nick_25. It's the same on Twitter as it is on Instagram or IG, as the kids are calling it now. You can also listen to me on 104.3 The Fan every night during the week, the Nick and Sisu show from 7 to 10. Also, due to the fact that Monday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, and the NBA Finals are now going on right now, you can find us broadcasting on the Twitch app. Just go and find 104.3 The Fan and look for Nick and Sisu.
Nick, I can't thank you enough for taking a few minutes out of your busy schedule to come and be a part of the show. You're fantastic, my friend. Hopefully we get the opportunity to catch up with you again real soon.
I'm sure based on these three teams, yes, someone's going to do something that forces us to get back on the line to talk about them. So if you call me, I'm here for you.
I appreciate you, Nick. Take care, my friend. All the best to you and your family. Stay safe out there.
You too.